Bracha that's going to be relevant this coming week from today, the bracha of Birchas Ilanos. And the Birchas Ilanos, the bracha on the trees, we'll go through the various details, the various halachas, but it's a very, very chashuv bracha. Just to read the introduction of Piskei Tshuvos on the siman. The siman's found in Siman Reish Chav Vav in Or Chaim. And it's a standalone siman. The only thing that's discussed in the siman is just this bracha. All other halachas, like lumped together, you have a siman like Reish Chav Dal with many halachas, of many brachas. There's one siman dedicated to Birchas Ilanos, which indicates its uniqueness and highlights how important it is. So just look at the language. I'll share with you the language of the Piskei Tshuvos. It's not in front of you. And then you'll go through the various halachas. So what he writes is that as follows. He says that Divi Mekubalim Chazinan Shenishtana Brachazu B'Chashivusa. That Mekubalim tell us this bracha is unique in its significance, al shar brachos, more so than other birchas haria, other brachas of seeing something. Machmas ha-tikunim ha-gedolim, apparently there are many, many tikunim involved in this bracha. We'll see some of them a little bit here. Ashetluyim ba im ha-chaim im ha-mesim. Somehow life and death is dependent on this bracha, whatever that means. V'lachaynim kilo matzina barov brachos haria, even though by normally other brachos, shetzarch adam les amets liros ha-dvarim shaleim tiknu bracharia. We don't normally say, go out and try to chap a bracha here, try to chap a bracha there. We don't say, go out, look for a rainbow, go out, look for lightning. We don't say, you have to, you know, look high and far for brachos. However, when it comes to this bracha of Birchas Ilanos, Shona Birchas Ilanos sheyesh la'adam l'shtadel u'lechaze acharel. We'll see this in some of the poskim as well. A person should try to seek out these opportunities to say the bracha. Granted, over the course of generations, many, many people were not so makbid on it. All the learned, all the wise, all the fear of Hashem, those who fear Hashem, hayu makbidim levarech brachazu. It's a very chashuv bracha. And they invoke psukim describing, the pasuk says, Re'ei re'ach b'nei k'reach hasadeh, that Yitzchak smelled from Yaakov, the smell of the Sada Asher Berachu Hashem, he smelled the smell of Gan Eden. V'itein lecha Elokim mital shemai mishmani haaretz. Somehow this bracha is connected to this pasuk. There's a lot of deep things going on. So we're not going to touch upon the omek, maybe a little bit at the end I'll touch upon some ideas. But we see it's a very chashuv bracha, just to get started. So look inside number one here. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis teaches us that Amar of Yehuda Hayman Denafik Beyomi Nisan. When a person goes out in the month of Nisan, which is going to be a week from today, they see trees begin to blossom. Now, the way it works, I don't know much about trees, but to my understanding, I believe the way it works is that all fruit trees have flowers that first grow. They last for only a few days, and they fall off, and then the apples or the oranges begin to grow afterwards. So when you start seeing the flowers begin to develop, or maybe even the buds of a little bit of the fruit themselves, not when you see it all developed, but really when the flowers are there. When you see that happen, you say the bracha of Shalochiser Ba'olamo Klum, that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't take anything, nothing in the world is lacking. Ubar Ba'brias Tovos, he built beautiful creations, Vilanos Tovos, and beautiful trees. Lesanos Ben Bnei Adam. So we could benefit from this world. You know, people live in the perspective that we're not meant to benefit from this world. That's certainly not the Hasidic approach. From the Hasidic perspective, we're supposed to enjoy this world with a certain kavana of a Kadosh Baruch Hu created it, but it's also the Gemara, that he gave us opportunities, l'sa'anos ben b'nei adam. It's not something precious is certainly a big concept in Yiddishkeit, there's no question about that. Hasidus has a different approach where you're supposed to engage in days like Purim and elevate it. But this Gemara clearly indicates that we're meant to get hana from many aspects of life in the Derech HaTorah. The Shita Megubetta's comment, number two. This is something that happens every year, season to season. The person says a bracha on dry trees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them back to life. The tree was dead, there were no fruit, and then it comes back to life. It's an inyan of a schadjus. And we'll see, I'll just kind of plant a seed, no pun intended now, about Tchias HaMesim. We'll come back to Tchias HaMesim at the end, how this connects to the circle and the cycle of life. The cycle of fruits, the cycle of a person's own life as well. So that's the inyan of the bracha of hischadshus. Each season, something's able to grow back with the flowers and the fruit. Aruch HaShulchan takes it one step further. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that Hayotz Bimei Nisan number three, the Roa Ilanos, the person sees trees. Shemotzin Perach, you see the flower. We thank and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for He created items We don't need them. We don't need fruit. Fruit, we can live without fruit. We don't need that. Kimo priyalanos. Fruit's nice. It's a little taste. It's a little dessert. You know, before candy and cakes became popular, you know, I'm sure the desserts were pretty much fruit. That was the dessert. That was the sweet. We don't say bracha on beans, on barley. We don't say brachas on, you know, potatoes and carrots that are growing. Because those things we need. We need to sustain ourselves. We need carbs. We need fruits you don't need. You can live without fruits. And therefore, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, De'eluhem kerchachios, vegetables and seeds, those are things we need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give it to us to live. V'lokina peros, the peros are not things that are needed. And therefore, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a bracha on just pure hana. Yeah, some people in this room maybe like fruit, they depend on fruit and blueberries, but the typical person, the normal person does not have fruit to have their meals. Fruit is considered a dessert, it's icing on the cake, and that's how HaShulchan understood it. So what's the purpose? It's not because we need it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us things to enjoy. This is pure enjoyment. It's pure dessert. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan says. And that's what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, to just enjoy life, enjoy the world within the framework, of course, of Halacha. So now, big question comes up. When should a person be saying this? What time of year? So the Gemara clearly says Nisan. You're supposed to say this in Nisan. Now, we're not sure what's going to be. You know, it's still cold out. Maybe next week it's going to get a little warmer. Hopefully, maybe 50s later on in the week. But certain places, maybe New York, maybe up in Canada, maybe they're not zocha to see the trees beginning to blossom in Nisan. It might take until after that. Iyar, maybe. And some places you might have, you know, down south in Florida and Texas, maybe already they started to. In Adar, they started to develop the flowers of these trees. So is it Dafka Nisan, or it could be any time you actually see the flowers begin to grow? So the Ritva writes in number 4 in the Gemara, Shana Daf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. He says, Perish bracha zu b'shem malchus, elisha talmud katzer, fine, even though the Gemara doesn't say bracha ta Hashem explicitly, oftentimes the Gemara just says, you say the bracha, and it's implied. Fine. The Yomei Nisan, says the Ritva, lav dafka, doesn't mean only in Chodesh Nisan. Rather, elakol makom u'makom lufi mashehu d'mevalvle. Any time, any place where it has it, I forgot one of these sheets, actually. Okay, I'll just hopefully do it by memory. So either way, wherever the trees begin to blossom, so then the din would be, you would say the bracha, whether it's Adar, whether it's Nisan, whether it's even Iyar. Now Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes the halacha, he says, Hayotze bimei Nisan, dafka. He doesn't mention any other opportunity. He just says, Nisan is when you say it, not before, not after, only in Nisan. And if you, in theory, live in a place that they don't grow until after Nisan, it's implied from the Mechaber that you would not say the bracha when Nisan is already over. The Shabura says, not true. Orcha the Milsanaka, the Shulchan Aruch just chose Nisan because that's the common time. She'az derech artis achamim livlev leha'ilanos, that's when the normal, warmer climate countries have, when the trees develop. But hu adin b'chodesh acher, any other month, a person could say such a bracha. Kol shiroa ha'livlev pam rishon mivarch. When you start seeing the flowers grow, the first time, that's when one says a bracha, whether it's Adar, Nisan, Iyar, even Sivan, whenever they grow. Aruch HaShulchan writes, U'b'ni'aseinu, our place where we live, Niz Medinos, Eino B'nisan, actually didn't take place. When Aruch HaShulchan lived in Europe, they did not have flowers growing on the fruit trees yet in Nisan, Ela B'Iyar. Oh, sometimes even Tchila Sivan, V'oz Anu Mevarchan. That was the practice to say the bracha whenever it happened, even if it was past Nisan. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says. So that's how a person would pask in the halacha. However, the Chida writes something very interesting. The Chida, one of the Svardim, he says, although that's true, that in theory a person could say it in any month, if you read number 8, V'cheinim ra ilanos porchos b'chodesh adar, v'ani shemati, says the Chida, d'bracha zu al derech ha'emes, which means the way of saying al pi kabbalah, shayich ha'davka limei Nisan, somehow it's connected to Nisan. How? I'll give my suggestion at the end. But somehow it's connected to Nisan. V'chein, nearly, gam apir cheshkedim v'achol v'ach b'min Nisan. Fine. And then he says, api kabbalah, a person should say a dafka in Nisan. He doesn't explain why. Let me just look for a second. Did I leave in the bottom of these? That's strange. That's very noticeable. Okay, let's see how my memory works. Either way, so the Chida paskins that a person should... I don't know where he went. It's fine. I was writing some notes somewhere, but hopefully I'll remember it. Either way, the Chida paskins that a person should say... can say it in Adar, but al pi Kabbalah, maybe a person should not say it before or after Nisan, only during Nisan. So how do we paskin? So the Yechav Adas, the very first simon, the Yechav Adas, Rav Avadya Yosef, he talks about this whole sukkah, simon Aleph and Chelek Aleph, and he says as follows. Talks a little bit about Kabbalah and Halacha when the two of them clash, which is a very, very fascinating topic. When Halacha says you could say it in any month, and Kabbalah says Dafka Nisan, and what should the approach be? So there's a whole wide range. Rav Avadya felt as follows. Aval imlo nizdami lo levarech bracha birchas ilanos ad sheyetze Nisan. He says a person should certainly try to be careful of when Kabbalah says something. But if, let's say, Nisan passes, and you haven't had a chance to say the bracha, says, Rashai levarech birchas ilanos b'chodesh iyar. V'lo yaved bracha yikarezu miyado. A person's only chance to say the bracha is in Iyar. A person should not miss out on this opportunity. We saw from the Piskei Teshuvos what a chasha bracha this is. And therefore, even though the PMS, al pi Kabbalah, one should not say atay Nisan, he felt al pi Kabbalah one should. V'yismoch al divrei raboseinu harishonim v'acharonim shepasku shenisan labdafka. Like we saw in the Ritva, we saw in the Mishabura, that they said you could say it on any other month. We can rely on that if a person's stuck. Ubavad shuadain hailanus beprichasim. Only if there's still flowers on the trees. If there are no flowers on the trees anymore, then at that point, it's no longer able. It's too late at that point. And that's how many poskim say you should try Nisan, but if not, you could say it in a month afterwards. So there is an interesting discussion whether women are chayiv to be involved in this mitzvah, in this bracha. Should they do this? Should we encourage women to do the bracha or not? So first we have to ask the question, are women even chayiv in this bracha? Should it be something that they're chayiv in doing so? Why would they not be chayiv? Maybe it's a mitzvah asay. She has my own grandma. Right? Women are not obligated in mitzvahs. Now this is not a mitzvah, this is really a bracha, but still, the poskim spoke about this even by brachas that were not mitzvahs. Maybe women should not feel obligated to do the mitzvah because it's dependent on zman.
Is there a time constraint? I mean, you have a whole month, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
As long as there are flowers there and no fruit, you could say the bracha.
No, I'm saying, for the women, normally it says Zman Grama. It's in the morning, it's at night, it's this day, it's that day. You have a whole month. Oh. That's like that's extending Zman Grama very far out. You want to say something? Well, you have to do it in one of 11 months out of the year. So you're going to say, oh, it's Zman Grama?
Right. So in theory, that can be the case. It's Zman Grama of a boy that's had Bris Milah. So you could perform the Bris Milah any day thereafter. And yet women are exempt from it because it's still Bayom Vlabalaila, or it's from the eighth day on. Whenever some time happens, even though it's the time that's extended, but maybe you're touching upon something else, which is what Shlomo Kluger says. Shlomo Kluger says, this is not a Zman Grama. It's not time that's Gorma. It's a Teva. It's nature that causes. Now, the nature dictates that's going to happen sometime in Nisan normally, but it's not Nisan that's Gorma. You know, when the sun rises, there's a chiv to give a milah to a child. There's a bris milah this morning in the shul. Eighth day comes, the morning, there's a chiv, the zman causes the chiv. But this is not a zman, it's not the first day of Nisan. If there's no flowers on the trees, you wouldn't say the bracha. It's within the time frame that this might happen. But it's not about zman, and therefore Rav Shlomo Kluger says, this is not a mitzvah asay shazman grama, and therefore women would not necessarily be exempt from this. No, but it's not time-dependent. It's not because they're saying that it's based on the flowers of the tree, which grows. That's not time doesn't dictate.
But they can only grow at a certain time.
Not because the time happens to be that is the during the time of the Nisan, but it's not because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, oh, there's a chiv of Birchas Ilanos. Their Nisan is when trees grow, when flowers grow. That's how they say it. And they say it's similar. He brings a proof. There's a... What? Yeah, whatever that would be, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly, so that proves it's not about Nisan, it's about whenever the flowers grow on the trees. So he brings a proof from the Mishnah by Maseches Bikurim.
So what do they do in Australia?
They would have to say it when the flowers grow. It's not based on Zman,
it would be based on Nisan, right?
Exactly, based on Kislev they'd do it or something, I don't know, whatever Zman, that would work for them.
Are we saying Apikabal, you
would
still do it Nisan?
Apikabal, you should still do Nisan, only Nisan, not Iyar, only Nisan, Dafkas. Exactly. Fiza, according to the Mekubalim, it would be a combination because it's Zman, but it's also only if it has the flowers. But if you have a tree that have no flowers during Nisan, you couldn't say it either. So it's some combination of Zman and the Teva.
So what would the Mekubalim do in Mati's case in Australia?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
They would just go, yeah, would be
something like that. So then the Hart Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, brings a raya from this concept that this is not dependent, just because the time is used, just because the month of Nisan is used, doesn't mean that this is man that's goriman. So he says, the Mishnah Bikurim tells us that it's different times of year when the Mitzvah Bikurim dictates that the first fruit of those season, the first Shivas Aminim, you have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, and you do what's called Mikra Bikurim. There's a whole Kriya, you psuk him in Parshas Kisavo, you come with the basket of the fruit, with the pomegranates, with the grapes, with the olives, and you say the whole Mikra Bikurim. Now, the Gemara says that there are different times of year where you'd only bring it and say it. Sometimes you bring it and you couldn't say it. So, for example, when it comes to Hanukkah, you can't bring the Bikurim anymore. That's what the Gemara says. Mishnah says you can't bring it. Hanukkah time is like the cutoff date. So we see it's Zman, based on Hanukkah. But the Mishnah also says that women are chayv in Bikurim. If a woman were to have a farm and she would have new fruit, she would actually bring Bikurim. Well, why should she bring Bikurim if it's totally in Zman? It's dependent on Hanukkah. So the understanding is Hanukkah is just the time of year when Bikurim are no longer relevant. It's just not because there's it's government. But that time of year, the fruit's already not new. It's already old at that point. It's old. Not because Hanukkah is the cutoff point. So here, Nisan isn't the cutoff point. It's not the Gorim and not the Gorim. Just that's the time of year when the spring comes in. And it's when it's relevant. But it's really Talay on that which happens in the nature, not on Zman. I'll give you one other example. The Rav Shurmach talks about, are women chayv in the brach of Kirish Levana? Should they say Kirish Levana? So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a discussion here as well. Rav Shlomo Kluger talks about that women are, it's not considered mitzvah aseh shezman grama. Why not? It's not dependent on zman when you say brach of Kirish Levana. It depends on whether the moon is visible or not visible. Now it happens to be on the first, second, third of the month is when that happens. But it's not time. It's not the third of the month. Let's say you were to, have a leap year or you added a day in the month. And let's say by the third day of the month, you couldn't see the moon. So you wouldn't say the bracha. You have to see the moon where it's strong enough to be visible, get some hanav. So it happens to be around the third day. But that's not zman. It's about an event in nature that takes place that causes one to say the bracha. So too, it's the event that takes place of the flowers that grow on the trees. And that's how Rav Shlomo Kluger paskins. And therefore, it's not, Kirish Levana is not called a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. Now that being said, even though Rav Shlomo Kluger felt it's not mitzvah aseh shezman grama, the Magen Avraham says that women are exempt from Kirish Levana for a different reason. The reason he says is because based on the Shla, there's a certain pagam in Levana, the fight between the sun and the moon, relates to men and women, and women were involved in the pagam, something up Hikabala as well. So that's why women don't say Kirish Levana. There are other reasons as well, but we just could use Kirish Levana as a model for an instance where, although it looks like it is Zman Grama, it may not be Zman Grama. It's some action, some event that causes them to be chayv or to be pater. So now, look at the end of number 11. Look at Shurmach, Chuvas Vahanagos Krach Aleph Simon Kuftad. He writes, when it comes to trees, he says, Iker habracha nira, she'ein zechove lechapes ilanos levarach. Mikardin, one need not search to find the bracha to say in the tree. She says, rak midas chasidus. That's midas chasidus to do so. About midina from mikardin, api halacha, rak mishara chayv levarach. Only a person who sees it has to say the bracha. He goes on to bring the proof from the Gemara, ukumashmelos lashon ha-gemara brachas mem gimel. Hi, man, denafik, one who happens to go out. Not that you, there's a chiv to go out. If you happen to go out, the Yom HaNisan, and you happen to live a chazi ilana, you see some trees, they're coming lav leblay, they're having these flowers grow. You say the brach of shalom chisav. Umashmel sadvaram, the implication is, the ein chov v'lechape sacharim, you don't need to seek it out. Elashal haroeh hu mitzvah levarach, one who sees it, he writes, recites a brach. However, he writes, midas chasidus hu, lechape sacharim, a person should seek the opportunities l'shabeach u'lehodos l'shem yizbarach ala bria mischachos k'mo shekasavti. A person should seek out the opportunities to say the bracha. Val pi sod, Rav Shurmach says, what's part of the sod here? What's the deep secret of this bracha? Yesh bezet tikun l'neshamos hamugugam. Somehow there's a tikun of the neshamos, the gilgulim. And that's what he says. Ulanoshim, Nirashena Hidil Chapesh Lates Shakokfuda Basmelach Pnima. Women shouldn't seek it out. You have to go outside, a whole other Indian, not how we practice. But there's some Indian with the Gilgulim. And he says, therefore, a person should go seek out the opportunity of the bracha. It's a very chashuv bracha. How it works, how the tikkunim work, how the Gilgulim work, beyond me. But there's something deep about this bracha, and a person should go out and seek it. But he felt that women don't have to. Women chant upon it, fine, but women don't have to go out and seek it. Number one, it's mitzvah aseh she'as man grama. Perhaps they're pater, even though he says they're not. He discourages women from seeking it out. But women are very machmir in the bracha, and maybe they should go out and say. Now, what about Shabbos? What happens next week, Shabbos? You're going for a walk, and you see an apple tree, and you see some flowers beginning to grow. You say the bracha on Shabbos. What's the din on Shabbos? So the Kaf HaChaim has a sefer called Moed Kol Chai, and he says he sees no problem for the person who's signing the bracha on Shabbos or Yantif. There's no issue with doing that. Pesach, right? You have a whole week of Pesach. You see it on Yantif. During Pesach, you say the person said bracha, not say the bracha. He sees no difficulty in saying the bracha. But he says where he grew up, nobody said the bracha on Shabbos or Yantif. That's what he observed. No one said the bracha. So he said, maybe the reason's perhaps because a guy's going to maybe smell the flower, maybe break the flower off on Shabbos. We don't assume that's a problem. A person could smell flowers on Shabbos. The Gemara in Sukkah says, you could smell a flower on Shabbos because you don't want to break the flower off on Shabbos, because if you do, the flower's going to die. So you're allowed to smell flowers on Shabbos. The problem is you can't smell fruit on Shabbos, because that you might actually take off fruit on Shabbos. That's a problem. Smelling flowers, you see a tree with only flowers on it, that's no problem. So he's not sure why not. But he says, in his practice where he grew up, nobody said it on Shabbos. So what's the Indian of saying on Shabbos? All right, this is the sheet I'm missing. But Rav Avadia, in his second siman, in Yechav Adas, he talks about saying Birchas Ilanos on Shabbos. And he quotes one of the Svarim, and the reason why you can't say it on Shabbos is because it's Borer. It's Borer. How is it Borer? So he's getting into the Kabbalah. Somehow you're being Mevarer between different Neshamas, different Gugum, I don't know how this works. And there's some Borer going on Shabbos, so that's why you don't say the Bracha. So Rav Avadia says, I never heard of such a thing of Borer by Ruchnius. Borer is by Gashmius. You take out the jelly beans, the red from the blue jelly beans. But by Neshamas, he never heard of such a thing. He quotes a Chassam Sofer that says, a person who mixes Kabbalah and Halacha together, it's like mixing Kalayim together. You can't mix the two together. You can't conflate the two. So we can't go based on the Kabbalah to tell us what to do. But in the end of the day, Al-Pi Kabbalah, they say such a thing. It's such an Indian that not saying on Shabbos. So what he says in the end, I wish I had it in front of you to read it, Rav Avadia writes that a person should ideally not say it on Shabbos or Yantav. He should, in deference to Kabbalah. But again, if it's a person's last day, let's say the last day, Nisan is Shabbos, he says a person should go out and say it on Shabbos to not lose the opportunity. So this is where Rav Avadia is always balancing between Kabbalah and Halacha. You always keep Kabbalah in deference. If it clashes against Halacha, Halacha always overrides it. So this may be part of another discussion we have at a different time. But that's how Rav Avadia ends. And this idea. So we see it's a very chashuv bracha, and so much so that he's willing to override the Dinei Kabbalah, not to say on Shabbos, just to chap this bracha. So let me just touch upon, I had notes, hopefully I remember some of the notes, but let's just touch upon maybe an idea to think about, why this bracha is so chashuv, what is maybe some of the tikkunim, what's the sod, perhaps behind this bracha of the Birchas Ilanos. So the bracha of Ilanos is called Birchas Eitz, it's a bracha on the tree, and the Eitz, the pasuk tells us that eitz hu adam who eitz hasada, a person is compared to a tree somehow. We're compared to a tree in some way. And the idea it's compared to a tree, I believe, is because as a tree regrows each year, it gets planted and the fruit come back each year, each season. So do we have a chance each Nisan to come back and do tshuva? The Chazal teach us that there's two ways to do tshuva. There's tshuva meir and tshuva me'ava. We discussed it a little bit the other day in the morning. And Morty's here. We discussed this tshuva meir and tshuva me'ava. Tshuva meyira is when a person does tshuva because he's scared. He's scared of punishment. He's scared of sin. And tshuva me'ava because a person wants to draw closer because of ava. And the Gemara in Yuma tells us the difference is when tshuva meyira, it takes the zedonos and nasa kishkagos. It knocks it down a rung from being a very bad avera to a not so bad avera. Amazed is now brought down to a shogig, but still an avera. When it comes to tshuva me'ava, it turns the Mezidim, Zedonos, Nasim, Ke Zechuyos. They become actually mitzvahs. They turn to mitzvahs. I just saw actually, Erev Shabbos, a beautiful idea. Because the big machlokus in the Gemara Brachos, which is better? Is it tzaddik better or is it baal tshuva better? The Gemara on one hand says, you can't touch the the platform in which a tzaddik, where the Baal Tshuva stands, the greatest tzaddik can't come close to where Baal Tshuva stands. The other opinion says, no, Rabbi Yochanan says that tzaddik is much better than a Baal Tshuva. Tzaddik Gomer, from the beginning of his life till now, he didn't violate any avera. It's Baal Tshuva. He was involved in whatever avera he's involved in. How could you compare the Baal Tshuva to the tzaddik Gomer? So how do we pass? Can we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan over Rabbi Abohu? Rabbi Abohu is the opinion who says that Baal Tshuva are greater. The Rambam paskins that Baal Tshuva are greater than tzaddikim. So ask, how could you do that? Rabbi Yochanan, we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says tzaddikim gemurim are better. How does the Rambam paskin against Rabbi Yochanan say Baal Tshuva are better? So he explains that somehow, because of Baal Tshuva, he tasted the Avera, and he was able to overcome that which he tasted, so of the chait, he became greater. What does that mean? So I saw the Prima Gadim explains, based on this idea of Tshuva Mi'ava. Tshuva Mi'ava takes all the Zedonos and turn them into Zechuyos. So this Rosh had all these Averas piled up on this side of the scale, where the Tshuva Mi'ava, he takes a pile and dumps it on the mitzvah side. Now he's got massive amounts. And for that reason, the Baal Tshuva is greater than that, even a tzaddik. That's what he writes. So, this idea of Tshuva Mi'ava versus Tshuva Mi'ira, so what's the connection to Nisan? So, each year, the tree comes back, the peiros grow greater and greater and bigger and juicier. So, what's the Indian? So, it's Hischadshus, but Hischadshus Dafka Nisan. So, we saw already an allusion to Tchias HaMesim earlier. So, let's speak about Nisan for a second and Pesach and trees. So, we know one of the word etzem, the bone, is from the word eitz as well. Etzem comes from an eitz. And each dries out, and each year it grows peros. So an etzem also. So listen to this. We've discussed this in the past, I assume together, that there are shiva mashkim, there's seven mashkim, seven liquids, as they relate to tumah v'tahara. There's milk, and there's honey, and there's water, and there's dew. And each of the seven yom tovim correspond to the seven liquids. So Rosh Hashanah is corresponding to honey. Yom Kippur is the dam, the blood on the mizbeach. Sukkot is mayim. Chanukah is shemen. Purim is yain, wine. Pesach is tal, tefilas tal. And Shavuos is chalav, is milk. So what's the connection to Pesach and tal? We daven tefilas tal. So why is tefilas tal? Why do we daven for tal and Pesach? So the Gemara tells us in Tainus, why do we say the bracha, why do we say mashva ruach min agashim and tefilas tal, murat tal, during the bracha of tchias amesim? The Gemara explains, just like when you bury a seed in the ground, it comes back to life with rain and with tal, it's a certain tchias amesim. So therefore, it was placed in the bracha of tchias amesim because it's a certain tchias amesim. Every seed that grows back to life is it takes a dead seed and it grows into a tree. It grows into a fruit. It grows into... So too, tfilas tal is going to... Gemara says in Chagiga that in the lasid lavo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring back to life the mace, the dead, through tal. It's called tal echaim. That's what Gemara says. Tal, do, is going to be the catalyst for tchias amesim. So just like tal brings back seeds to life, so too it's going to bring back the mason back to life. That's what the Gemara says. So Pesach somehow is an Indian of tchias mason. Tchias mason. Now the Chazal also teach us that in order to have tchias mason, you have to have, there's a certain bone called the luz, etzem luz, the luz bone. Some made back in the neck here or something like that. It's the area of Malav Malka, which is connected to Eliyahu Navi. In tchias mason, you feed the bone from Malav Malka. That's the luz bone. You need a bone for tchias mason to take place. If there's no bone, it won't work. So you have that luz, etzem luz, and that the tal comes down and it sprinkles and it moisturizes the bone and it brings back to tchias amesim, this etzem. So we see this Indian of etzem comes to Pesach in many, many places. So when the gula took place, while all of Klal Yisrael was busy looking for all the different gold and silver that they found during Choshech, what was Moshe Rabbeinu involved in? He went to the Nile, he picked up the Atzmos Yosef. He found where Atzmos Yosef was. He brought up Atzmos Yosef, the bones. And Atzmos Yosef is what led Klal Yisrael through the Midbar, through the Yamsuf. You know, that's what the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Hayam Rav Yonis, it saw, what did it see? It saw Atzmos Yosef. So the bones of Atzmos Yosef broke over the Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael went through. So it was the Atzmos Yosef, the bones, the loose bone, if you will, that was really the catalyst for the Tchias HaMesim of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says in Shmos that Kulanu Mesim, we were all dead in Mitzrayim. We were all spiritually dead. The time of Pesach is a time of revival, a time of Hischadshus. And that's through the tefillas tal that we say. So maybe this explains also as to why we only find by the Karan Pesach, there are many unique halachas, but one unique halacha is etzem lo sushiro, we don't break the bones. Every other carbon, shlamim and olachatas, you break the bones all you want. You can suck out the bone marrow if you like, not by the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, we don't break the bone. Why not? Because perhaps it's to indicate we want to keep the bones intact because we want to, it's a certain emunah and tchis avesim. We want the etzem to be strong, just like the eitz, every single season, the eitz comes back and the fruit grow and the flowers grow, the tal comes down, tchis tal, comes back to life. Etzem lo tishrubo, don't break the bones. Don't break the bones. The Karban Pesach represents Klal Yisrael. We're connected to Seh. We represent the Seh, the Karban Pesach of the Seh. We don't break the bones. We have faith that the loose bones are going to come back through Tchias Mesim. It's also very unique. We know Shabbos is very much connected to Tal. Right? Lamates Melachos. Tal, Lamates, the third nine Melachos connect to Tal in a very, very deep way. So, of those who know, maybe the Baal Korah here, what Haftorah and Haftorah on Shabbos Chol HaMoed? No relane? Anyone know what relane? Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, what's the Haftorah? The dry bones. That's what's called the dry bones.
Yeah.
That's what we read. Because Pesach is about the bones, about preserving the bones that are dry, but it's the Tchias HaMesim, it's the Tal, the Tchias Tal that brings it back to life. So perhaps this is the idea why the Pikabala, Dafka bin Nisan. Nisan is the time of Nisan. Nisan is the time of Tshuva Me'ava. It's the time to take all the Zedonos, all the dead, Kulanu Mesim, all the spiritual death that we have. Nothing more than bones, but the Tfilas Tal somehow brings us back to life. That's all in Nisan. Nisan is the time of Nes, time of miracles. And they tell us, one of the indications of Tshuva Me'ava versus Tshuva Me'ira, Tshuva Me'ira always comes from a Midah of Din. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, that's why it's Tshuva Me'ira. Nisan's Tshuva Me'ava. It's a time of love, Tshuva through love. It's connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the indicators we have, the Sfarim teach us, when the letters are keseder, like Aleph Beis Gimel, that indicates it's Tshuva Me'ava, it's a time of chesed. When the letters are backwards, from Tufshin downward, that's indicating it's a year, it's Midas Din. That's why Tishrei is called Tishrei. It's the last letters of the Aleph Beis, Tuf, Shin, Resh, coming down, it's Din. That's Yom HaDin, that's Tshuva Me'ira. When it comes to Nisan time, it's called the Chodesh Ha'af, Aleph Beis. It's an order. It's an order. Aleph Beis means it's a Midas Chesed. And the truth is, Chodesh Av, you think that's a Midas Din, right? But we know that Tishrei B'Av is really the day of the creation of the birth of Mashiach. It's also a hidden way. It's also an Av Beis. It's also an Av. It's also a time of Chesed. Pesach and Tishrei B'Av are very, very correlated with each other. The Torah tells us the first night of Pesach is also the same day as Tishrei B'Av, the opposite. And the Torah says, Av Beis Gimel Dal Hei Vav Zayin, the 7 days of Pesach. And the Atbash is the opposite. So Tuf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, and so on. Aleph, first day of Pesach, same day as Tisha B'Av. Bey, second day of Pesach, same day as Shavuos. Gimel, the third day, is connected to Resh, which is Rosh Hashanah. He goes down the line how each one, the day of the week when Pesach falls out, that day corresponds to a different Yontif throughout the year. So Pesach and Tisha B'Av are very correlated. Even though you would think that Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelus, it's a Yom HaMoed, we know. Today, we don't say Tachanun. Today that we actually know that Mashiach will be, hopefully already was born, on Tisha B'Av, it's a day, a time of Chesed. So Aleph Beis is always a time of Chesed. So that's why also we have different distinction. What do we do on Tishrei? What do we do with what's a minhag to do with the bread in Tashach? We throw the bread away. We get rid of the bread. Because it's, even though it's Tshuva Me'ira, we don't even want our Shkagos. We're trying to get rid of our Shkagos. We don't want Shkagos. And better than that, Zedonos, but we don't want Shkagos either. But Nisan and Pesach, which is a time of Tshuva Me'ava, we actually want them now. Because our chametz has turned into mitzvahs. They turned into zechuyos. So instead, when we take the bread, we burn it up. It's elevated. It ascends up to Shemai. We don't get rid of it. We don't throw it down. We actually elevate it to a high level. Because that's Tshuva Me'ava. Another distinction is that Mayim, which represents the world of Taiva, the world of Chet. So when it comes to Mayim on Sukkot, we take the Mayim and we pour it down onto the Nisach HaMayim, it's the Mizbech, it goes down to the bottom. But there's a very chashuv thing that comes to Pesach. What's the chashuv thing I'm referring to? Mayim Shalonim. It's a funny story. My son, Zevi, so Yishai was just bar mitzvah a few weeks ago. So Zevi, who's only 11, he wants to start preparing for his lenin. He's a little too early, but he started. So my father started teaching me already. And there's a word, lanu and lanu. Mm-hmm. So he pronounces it the wrong way. My father was just teaching him the difference. One word means to sleep, one word means hours. I told my father, it's actually Gemara Pesachim, that a certain Amora once came. He darshened to the tzibur, you need Mayim Shalanu for Pesach, for the making the matzahs. Next morning, there's a whole line out his door. He says, what are you guys doing? You said, we need our water. You said, we came to get your water. Mayim Shalanu. No. Maim Shalom knew that water was left out overnight. That's the water, not our water. The water that was left out overnight. So Maim Shalom is a very chashuv thing. You'll see, like in the yeshiva world, in a couple of weeks, every Rebbe, Chaim Kanievsky, every tzaddik, there's a whole chashuv thing of the Maim Shalom. They draw the water. Because you draw the water, we use the water. Pesachus, we throw the water away. Pesach, we take the water and we eat it. We elevate it. Because Nisan and Pesach is the time of Shuv Mi'ava. So perhaps this is some of the ideas of why Birchas Ilanos is a very chashuv thing, Dafka B'Nisan, because just like each season, the trees, the fruits, the flowers grow back. It's a time of Hischadshus, it's a time of Tshuva, time of Shuv Mi'ava. So to on our level, it's a time to remind us that we're also an eitz. The etzim represents the eitz of ourselves. And even though it's been a long, you know, long year, long winter, cold, dark winter, and everything's been dried out, but with Nisan around the corner and Tzfias Tal, which is the Tal Echaim, we have an opportunity to rethink and to have a new opportunity, a new chance. And therefore, for that reason, it's a very chashuv bracha. So starting next week, start looking for the lists of fruit trees and say the bracha. You bring your wife, bring your children. It's a very chashuv thing. We don't really understand and appreciate the meeting, but all we do know is there's something very chashuv to it. Okay, so we'll stop here. And next week, I'm not sure what we'll do next week, but something related to Pesach, I imagine.